This Bible talk, titled Getting Right, Staying Right, is on Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. It's the fourth sermon in our series Rescue on the letter to the Galatians, and it was given at Robina on Sunday, the 6th of March, 2022.
How we get into the kingdom is how we stay in. How we get into the kingdom is how we stay in. Robert was a Christian from Nigeria. We both spoke briefly together on the jetty. Our two boats docked together at the same time as our two groups merged into a sea of people. We'd all just been out on the Sea of Galilee. We'd all just seen the same things. We were both Christians in Israel on tour. Except our differences for being there were as contrasting as the pigmentation of our skin. I was there as a student of the Bible. I got a mate's rates trip to Israel. But Robert told me that he was there on a pilgrimage. He was a pilgrim to Israel. He said that he'd come to walk closer with God, to walk by faith in the footsteps of Jesus. And judging by the size of Robert's tour group, he wasn't the only one there on a pilgrimage. If we know how to get into the kingdom, how can we make sure that we stay in? If we know how to get right with God, how can we make sure we stay right with God? Lent started this week, at least that's what my Anglican friends tell me. Do I need to give up something for Lent? Is Lent something that Christians do? What is a Lent anyway, and where do I find one in the Bible? If we know how to get into the kingdom, how do we make sure that we stay in? A friend of mine joined a local church. Well, he didn't join because they wouldn't let him. Despite the pastor's insistence, he didn't want to be baptized by full immersion, and so as far as the church was concerned, he wasn't a member of their church. But if God accepts people by faith in Jesus, shouldn't the local church accept them too? You don't have enough faith, another pastor once said to my wife, Corinne. If you prayed more and confessed your sins, God will answer your prayers for pregnancy. Corinne was ready to snot him. Maybe anger was her unconfessed sin. If we know how to get right with God, how can we make sure we stay right with God? Do this, don't do that, sign this, protest that, vote this way, don't vote that way. So many rules and expectations in church culture, so much pressure, so much judgment. Is it any wonder Christians are anxious people? We have no confidence in where we're supposed to stand. But if we know we're right with God now, how can we be sure we will be for eternity? This morning we're in Galatians in our series called Rescue, and the problem with the Galatian churches is that they are in danger of doing what Peter did, going back to observing Jewish laws, insisting on obeying old covenant traditions. Having been made right with God by faith in Christ, Peter wants to go back to keeping the law of Moses. Won't you see that with me, Galatians 2, verse 14. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Just like Peter over dinner in Antioch, the Galatians deny the gospel by their behaviour. Their confusion caused by Peter's hypocrisy means that the Galatians are now making the very same mistakes. Paul tells Peter he stands condemned. He's out of step with the truth of the gospel. Paul even calls Peter Cephas because it's like he's never met Jesus before. Some men who'd come from James insisted Gentiles become Jews in order to become Christians. They're saying the Gentiles needed to be circumcised. If the Gentiles now share in Israel's inheritance, they must be marked out as God's people. Not to put too fine a point on it, but they insist that the Gentiles get some skin in the game. But Paul says obeying the law sets aside the grace of God. And if that's the case, then Christ died for no purpose. You see, going back to obeying the old covenant means forsaking the grace of the new covenant. And Paul says, well, that's just foolish. See it with me, won't you? Chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. The Galatians make the same mistake that Peter did. They've missed the most significant event in all of human history. They can't see what's right in front of them. They can no longer tell the time. Jesus Christ, clearly portrayed as crucified, his crucifixion proclaimed publicly. All that the Old Testament promised, all that the Old Testament law pointed towards, the whole point of the law and of circumcision, has been fulfilled right in front of them. How did you miss this? Asks Paul. Well, I'll tell you how they missed it, friends. The Galatians have been bewitched. It's like they've had a spell cast over them, one even more captivating than Elizabeth Montgomery. So fascinated about playing with circumcision, the Galatians have gone blind to the centrality of the cross. So insistent on obeying the Old Testament, they've missed the significance of Christ's death. How many churches do you know have done this? How many Christians do you know like this? People who've missed the centrality of the cross in their lives and made it all about themselves. It's not beyond churches to lose the plot. Not beyond Christians to lose the plot either. We can become blind to the importance of the cross, become more fascinated with protesting the latest outrage than God's forgiveness to a fallen world. We become more focused on ourselves, more concerned with preserving our own traditions, customs, and comfort. The Galatians have been blindsided by the God of this age, bewitched into believing the devil's disappearing trick. You see, friends, it's the evil one who blinds eyes and closes minds, but you can see, can't you? Can't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul tells Peter where he stands. He stands condemned. He tells the Galatians they're foolish. The Greek word for foolish means unintelligent and dull-witted, but it is foolishness from God's perspective. Paul's not saying the Galatians are stupid. He's saying it's like they've become unbelievers again. See it with me, Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Paul names Peter Cephas because it's like he's never met Jesus. And Paul names the Galatians foolish because it's like they've never heard the gospel. Foolishness refers to our intellect and spiritual condition before becoming Christian. It's foolishness from God's perspective. And so Peter stands condemned by his actions, and the Galatians stand clueless because of theirs. But you can appreciate the problem here in Galatia, can't you? You can understand the issues. If you know how to get into the kingdom, how can you make sure that you stay in? Under the old covenant, circumcision marked out the people of God. But Paul says circumcision is no longer required. Under the old covenant, God's people were required to obey the law. But Paul says the law doesn't work here anymore. If righteousness could be gained through the law, he says, then Christ died for no purpose. So what is the sign of belonging to God's people? How can we tell who's in and who's out? If we know how to get into the kingdom, how can we make sure that we stay in? Do you see where all the confusion's coming from? Can you see the issue here in Galatia? The Gentiles are coming to Christ, but the Jews are saying, hang on just a minute. What about the sign of circumcision? What about the place of the law? Paul says under the new covenant, how you get into the kingdom is how you stay in it. See it with me, won't you? Chapter 3, verse 2. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Paul's asking lots of questions, isn't he? It's an incisive inquisition about increasing incisions. But the question we want to be asking ourselves is, how did the Galatians receive the Holy Spirit? How did the Galatians receive the Holy Spirit? Well, it's not by doing anything required by the law. The Galatians didn't keep the requirements of the law. They were uncircumcised Gentiles, remember? The law of Moses wasn't even given to them. So how did they receive the Holy Spirit? Well, they heard the gospel of Christ crucified, and they believed what they heard. Believing, not doing, that's the pathway to receiving the Holy Spirit. But the Galatians have become fascinated with circumcision. They've taken an interest now in keeping the law. Circumcision isn't the sign of belonging to God. Having the Spirit of God is. Obedience doesn't guarantee our inheritance. Having the Spirit is our guarantee. See that with me, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And so I want you this morning to understand the things God has freely given you. God freely gives you his Spirit. Freely. Not by works of the law. Freely. Not by observing Jewish traditions and ancient customs. God's people now have God's Spirit. God's Spirit now at work within you. That's how you know you're in the kingdom. That's how you know you'll stay in it. It's not like you become a Christian by faith and then suddenly have to work really hard to stay there. It's not like you have to go on a pilgrimage. God dwells in you by his Spirit. It's not like you don't have enough faith. God's Spirit is at work in you. It's not like you have to give up something for Lent. Otherwise, Christ died for no purpose. Believing, not doing, that's how you get into the kingdom. That's how you stay in. When we heard the gospel, Jesus Christ clearly portrayed as crucified, we responded by faith, and so we received the Holy Spirit. How we started is how we finished. Because our hope isn't in ourselves and our work, is it? Our hope is in the finished work of Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Spirit within us is the seal of our salvation. The Spirit within is the sign that we belong to God. That's what Peter was saying in Acts chapter 10. It's what the Jerusalem Council will say in Acts 15. The Gentiles have the Spirit, so they don't need circumcision. The Spirit within is the sign that we belong to God. The Spirit is the sign of our salvation. The Spirit is the guarantee that God will finish the work he started in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Spirit of God in you is your guarantee. The Spirit of God within us is the seal of God's ownership over us. God completes the work that he starts, signed, sealed, and delivered. You are his. And so how we start is how we finish. It's all of God. It's all of his grace. See it there, Father, Son, and Spirit securing our salvation. God finishes what he starts. The one who began a good work in you not only promises to carry it on to completion, but the one who began a good work in you is now the one who is at work within you. And so the question isn't whether God is at work in us in this very moment. The question is, what is God at work doing in us in this moment? And do we have the courage to join him in it? You see, like Peter in Antioch, the Galatians' obsession with all things Jewish means that they have failed to tell the time as well. They are blinded to the significance of the Christ crucified. At the cross, Paul says, the age that is to come pierced this present evil age. And so now the flesh gives way to the Spirit. The new creation has arrived. going back to the old covenant makes no sense for the Galatians. All the old covenant pointed towards has now taken up permanent residency in them. That was the promise of the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 11. See it with me. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit, and I will put within them, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. The promised indwelling of the Spirit is the sign that we belong to the people of God. And friend, if that's you, then you're exactly where you need to be this morning. The Spirit of God within you means that you rightfully get to take your seat amongst the people of God. Christ crucified means the promise is fulfilled. God's Spirit now within us, the new creation now here, we're God's people, God with us, and He is our God. But is it all for nothing? So focused on what they're doing, the Galatians missed all that God was doing among them. The Galatians have become so religious that their focus became on their own efforts. See that with me, won't you? Chapter 3, verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? That should finish with a question mark. If they turn from their adoption as sons, if they start adopting the law of slavery, then the Galatians have suffered for nothing. All that they've left behind doesn't mean a thing. If righteousness can be gained through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. That is exactly what Paul told Peter, isn't it? And so now he tells the Galatians the same things. Don't be so foolish. Conduct yourself in step with the truth of the gospel. Understand the things God freely gives us, salvation, His Spirit, His work among us. Jesus Christ publicly portrayed as crucified, the Spirit within us received by faith. God saves us. God gives us His Spirit. God works amongst us, all by faith, not by law, all of grace, not of works. How we get into the kingdom is how we stay in it. And all we have to do is trust Him. But that's the hardest part, isn't it? Trust Him. You see, the Galatians' temptation is ours. Sure, we'll line up for coffee this morning, not elective surgery. But we still want to make things happen, don't we? We still want to contribute something to God and His work. We want something to show for all of our devotion. We want something to express our commitment, something to acknowledge our sacrifices. We want to feel like things are happening. Naturally, we want to do things. No one likes waiting, especially when God operates on a time frame of doing things over a lifetime and into all of eternity. Who wants to wait for that? But it's easier to do things for God than it is to be with Him, isn't it? To trust that God is at work amongst us, that's the harder thing. To delight in the knowledge that He delights in you, that's kind of hard too. And so we try to force God's hand. We want to speed things up a bit. We make a scene. We force the issue. We gather a crowd. We say God's in control and at work in our lives, but impatiently, it's us who are taking over the reins again. You see, even if the application is different in Galatia, the problem is the same here for us on the Gold Coast. And that is when we focus on what we're doing, when we become fixated on our own efforts, our ministry, our involvement, our commitment, our good works, our sacrifices, our offerings, when our attention is fixed on what we do rather than our being with God, rather than on being in relationship with Him. We become blind to the centrality of the cross of Christ in our lives, and it's like we've never met Jesus either. When we become fixated on what we're doing, peeking over at what everybody else is doing, captivated by what other churches are doing, focused on all that our church is not doing, We become blind to the things that God is actually doing amongst us. We miss seeing the miracles that he now works within us. And I want to tell you, friends, God is at work amongst us. I can see it. Friends, God is at work amongst us at Salt Church. He is at work in your life too, right now. And so I want to ask you, can you see what God is doing in you? Can you see his work amongst others that you meet with? Or can you only see what you think is still missing? Freely, let's understand all that God has given us. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we give you thanks that in Christ we want for nothing, that we have received every spiritual blessing in him, that we've been saved, set free, made right, declared your children, signed, sealed, and delivered. We are yours. Would you help us not to focus on what we think is missing, not on the next thing that might make our salvation and our walk with you more enjoyable or more intimate or more anything, but we might instead understand what we already have, that we might delight in the depths of knowing you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to delight in you and not in the things that we do, not to focus ourselves on our works, but to only hope in the complete work of the Lord Jesus for us. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.